Today's topic is topic modeling, and we had this course in last spring, and some said in after that this topic modeling was the hardest one of these tools that we have been introducing, but I say it's fairly easy. And I will try to present it to you in a way that you also would feel like same as me. So I will start the PowerPoint. What's the second one? We'll share your screen. All right. And about topic modeling, the tools that I'll show it to you, the tools that you can use with the topic modeling is Mallet, and then I will also show you that you can do with the Vojan tools same things, but a little bit more easy. But there's a little difference what you can actually do with both of them. You will see. So, about topic modeling, what topic modeling is, it's a if we want to be specific, then it's called LDA. That's the probably the term that you, if you're just searching information about topic model, you can also run into the term LDA, and that comes from the words latent Dirichlet allocation, and that is probably the maybe the term what you was used in the beginning, but when it's getting more popular and more known, then they started to call it like a topic modeling. The roots where this method or tool is began is from the paper that David Blay, Andrew Ngia, Michael Jordan published already in 2003. It was published in the Journal of Machine Learning Research. And this, in term latent Dirichlet allocation, the latent refers to model's assumption that the words occur in the groups and are responsible for the density of the words in the corpus. Since such word cluster themselves are hidden, their distribution in the corpus must be inferred. So it means that the kind of that there's a certain groups of words in appearing together. So that Dirichlet refers to calculation of probabilities, and it comes from the German mathematician Peter Dirichlet, who was a expert on this field. So LDA, it's kind of a generative probabilistic model consisting of a collection of composites made up in different parts. And in topic modeling, composites are the documents and the parts are the words or phrases. That's what LDA means. Then about the definition of topic modeling, what topic model is. And this is David Mimnos' definition that you can find also in a Mallet page, and he's the chief maintainer of the Mallet. So, in his words, it's that the topic models provide a simple way to analyze large volumes of unlabeled text. A topic consists of a cluster of words that frequently occur together. Using contextual clues, topic models can connect words with similar meanings and distinguish between uses of words with multiple meanings. So this is kind of put in the exact, and it is a tool where you can find how the different words are connected together and kind of forming certain kind of themes. And it's usually best when when you have a quite large material of what you're using in your research. Here's the how the Mallet program kind of sees itself. This is from their website, and this is kind of in a nutshell what it's all about. It is Java-based statistical program language, which is programmed, and it can process like different kind of texts and using them as a source materials, and it can create the topics for you. There's a also kind of inbuilt features. There's not that much options you to kind of choosing what you want. It is these things kind of features are already built inside the program, so in that sense it's fairly easy. There's a different algorithm that the program just goes through every time when the program is analyzing the source material. And there's also tools for sequence tagging, and then there's a maybe it's a best to say that this topic will program, the Mallet, it's very useful when you're analyzing a large collection of unlabeled text. So in certain way, if you have a big chunk of text, you can kind of data mine that and get some ideas at what it actually contains. And most of these Mallet algorithms are depend on numerical optimization. So that optimization that you can also a little bit fiddle around, but mostly the program kind of deals it itself. And and then in the end, the program kind of transforms it jobs in the text documents. So whereas most of them are numerical representations of the what it's inside. So in the end, it's a researcher's job to start kind of interpreting what the machine has done for you. So here, I'm not going to go this through very clearly. So specifically, I'm just showing you what kind of algorithm are actually coded in the program. So it's not just doing one thing, but it kind of simultaneously using different kind of things and makes you the calculations of what the your material actually contains. So why use topic modeling? It is kind of program that extracts topics from the text. A topic for in a computer is a list of words that occur in statistically significant ways. So the text can be an email, blog post, book chapters, magazine articles, diary entries, or whatever, if it's in a form of text and words. And if we think about like topic X, and then we think about how the traditional research has found the major themes about from the topic. So what this topic model can provide you, it can kind of go through it again and may find some themes that have been maybe overlooked from the previous research. Or in the, it could also kind of fortify that the previous research has already looked all the most important themes. But it also kind of gives you chance that it finds something that's in there. Maybe it's maybe a little bit smaller themes, or these have been so spread out in the whole corpus that the previous research has kind of overlooked them, but they are kind of these little things that are lurking beneath the surface. So it is possible that you can find maybe some hiding topics that are kind of important, but they are so spread out that the research didn't pay so much attention about them. But if if these little pieces are put together from the last, like, suddenly that those little pieces start look like a bigger theme. And in this sense, it could be said that the bigger your source material are, the more you have stuff what you put in the topic modeling, the better results you actually get. Because the larger the material gets, just humans cannot go through it like in a normal research or traditional research, I could say. But the trick in these digital tools that sometimes they are really easy to use, and it might give you kind of idea that that you can do it, and also it gives you kind of information what you did. But then again, you have to, as a researcher, think it that is it really useful for you for that research topic or research question that you have set for your material. So I kind of like to remind you that the idea that just because you know how to use it, it doesn't always mean that you should. So you always have to kind of, this is kind of basic what researchers have to do. You have to think it through and maybe try and then kind of reflect what you get and kind of think about that. Is this useful for me or does it not? So, what topic model can add you? It is something, yes, for sure, but it doesn't mean that the close reading your material wouldn't be necessary. The close reading is always necessary. So this is kind of an additional way to look at your material, maybe find something what is already found, but you can put in the top of all the other information that you have previously got. So it might be that there's no big surprises when you use this. You have already come with maybe the most important themes from your research. But then again, it might give you kind of reference point that you can eliminate also that you are kind of cherry picking things from your material, so that you kind of pick things what are most suitable for you and then kind of ignoring the rest. So this kind might bring up and show to you that these other topics are also important, because the in topic modeling models, it is kind of statistical numbers that which topics are most important, which don't. So you can kind of reevaluate the thoughts that you had before you did topic modeling from the material you are using. It also very handy to kind of extract kind of key things from the discourses what you are looking for. Because if the larger the body of material is, it kind of gives you this kind of big data, big view possibilities, so that you might find then that things that also, what are the biggest things in this material you are using, or what are the things you maybe don't need to get so deep into. And sometimes we kind of found same kind of topics that we did as a traditional research, but sometimes you might be able to kind of locate the nuances or the actors inside of the whole big thing that you are trying to go through. And this is kind of helping you when you actually close reading to kind of maybe return to those actors or those nuances what you can find, and kind of also again rethink your thing or reevaluate what you have kind of thought it would be. So here's the picture, how it kind of works. So if you have a lot of documents, let's say like articles, so the one article is always a one document, and even that document has many topics. So the topic is kind of your discourse or frame, the big picture. And after that, the machine calculates using the algorithm and gives you kind of things as a results, and then you have to kind of interpret it. And then you have to kind of think about, is it the outcome, is it more like a experimental, or is it kind of dependent on the wider context? So in the end, what the topic model gives you, it just gives you the ideas that you can put into the bigger context and then start to interpret it, what it actually means. So in the picture, you can see that there's a document, and then the computer uses model of algorithm and gives you kind of topics, and it gives some cluster. Then also it gives you the cluster of words, and then it also calculates the frequency of the words, and those parts, then you can kind of start interpret. So it is a purely text mining tool, and the tools that we are going through today are the Voyant and the Mallet, and they're working very different way. I will show you, but both have some good qualities and maybe some challenges. In Voyant tools, the challenge is that it's used from the by web browser, and it is public. So, and then it's not a closed system like the Mallet is. So you have to think carefully what kind of materials you are using, if there's some kind of ethical things that you have to figure it out, or if there's something sensitive materials that you cannot share with anybody else, it's just for you for the research, then you might have to rethink that, are you actually able to use the Voyant tools? And so the Voyant tools is probably best to use in research materials that are already public. Maybe some minutes from the administration, or maybe some texts in a public text. Like if you study literature, maybe you can download the whole book and check it out. That's okay. But if you are dealing with sensitive material, there's things that should be kept away from the public eye, then you have to think about carefully, are you able to use the Voyant tool? And here's the privacy statement. And if you think this could be the tool for you, I urge you to read carefully what that privacy statement means. And if you think that maybe I could use this, or what, or should I able to use, there's always you can contact for the person and ask for more information. So this is how the Voyant tools looks like. In the top left corner, you can see the internet address of the tool, but you can find it very easily if you just put in the Google Voyant tools, and this is you get in this page. So this is you can use this from the web browser. But the Mallet program, looks totally different. You use it from the MS-DOS language, and you use it from the command prompt of your program. But even it's a little bit difficult, you kind of comprehend maybe if you haven't used old computers. And so, but in the end, you just need few commands. And so in that sense, it's fairly easy to use. I have downloaded in Moodle materials that already made for easy to use with the Mallet, so you don't have to. You can try with that material, so you can get the sense of it, how the program works. But here is a few things that you need to know if you want to prepare your own material. So all the text what you are using in these topic modeling programs, it needs to be in TXT format. you can use Notepad, that gives you it automatically, the rich text format, or if you use Microsoft Word, then when you save it, you have to save it like a MS-DOS text. And when you actually are building your corpus, you have to make some decisions. Do you want to explore the topics as at the paragraph, by paragraph level, or do you want to study a text? It's like a larger corpus. So you have to think like should I put like a one gigantic file, or should I put separate files? It works like in both ways, but if you use separate files, it gives you kind of a little bit different results. And also, when you're using a Voyant tools, it gives you access to find out like exactly what document has how many keywords or so on. So you get a little bit more specific information if you divide it in a separate files. And when you are creating these files, it's good to name it differently, all the files, of course, but also remember that you can name it like you can recognize from the file label that what it's all about, because the computer just refers these file names afterwards. And so if you're working like a diary, text, then it could be a good way to make as a like a one entry text as a one file. So afterwards, you can trace back that these keywords were used in this file. And also, if you name it like April 25th, then you can backtrack it. Okay, so it was April 25th that these words were used. And also, when you make these file names, it's important that you don't leave spaces. You can do it in the Microsoft operating system, but when you want to leave space, put some other characters, you know, maybe lowercase line or something. So like you see in this example, it's April 25th. So if there's a space, then put some character anyway in it. The program cannot read files if there's a spaces between the characters. And if you're using Mullet, then you have to place your data in your computer, and you have to place it in the Mullet folder what you have been created. So it depends what kind of if you use your own computer, then you probably install the program in the C root. But if you use a university laptop, then the program was installed in MyTemp. No, it wasn't in MyTemp. It was Devel folder somewhere in the C root still. And in my computer, I have been installed in the, because this is a university computer, I have this MyTemp folder. So I have installed Mullet in there. So if I want to use the materials what I selected, I have to make a folder and save all the things what I want to use the material inside of this Mullet folder. And here it is, I have named it Echo 74, and that's a folder where my material is. And you have to place it in here. And usually, because we're using command prompt running this program, the shorter the name of the file is, then it's maybe you don't have to write it. So, because you have to write it in a command prompt, so you don't have to write so long labels. So, what is this MS-DOS? This is how you use it. Don't worry, I will show you exactly how we're using it in later on. But you need to know few commands. If you put C two dots and push enter, then it goes, takes you to a C drive root. And then you just have to find your mallet folder. And then it's the CD commands that will take you there. I will show you later. And if you're working at the university computers, then I think you have to find first the devil folder and then the mallet folder. And the mallet folder is named like that, mallet 202108. And if you need to go back, you just type CD and two dots and push enter, and that's how you can go back. So here is the commands what you need to know. I will just showing these for you for now, but when we are actually using the program, I will show you more specific. But here, like I told you, I'm put my material in a folder called Echo 74. So here, when you look at these commands, you can find that Echo 74 appears in them. So that's why it's important that the material is in the correct place so that the command path works. And basically, when we're using mallet, we have to do kind of two steps. First, we have to import the documents inside for the program to use. And after that, we can train the topics and see what kind of themes we get out of the material. So here's the few commands that can be used. And there's a kind of explanation in a nutshell. So I'm just for example, remove stop words. The program then understands that it doesn't count these basic stop words as such and the but and so on. Train topics, it's the command that we want to now train the topics and get the topics. So then you can also decide how many topics you want. If you write num topics 20, then you get 20 topics. But if you want just have 10, you write 10 and so on. So you just in for the computer how many topics you want. But these are things that you can kind of look later and kind of figure out what we like to need. Sometimes using stop words, it's enough, but sometimes the languages are different and it might that you need to use stemming. You don't need to use stemming in a English language, German language or French language, and sometimes you don't even have to use it in Finnish language. But in Finnish language, you might want to use it if your material in Finnish. Then you have to kind of just try first, and if you see the results and you think that maybe I would like to get maybe more accurate, more specific results, then you have to stem your material beforehand. And stemming means that you just cut the word in a basic form. So in topic modeling, the machine sifts through words that occur most often from the list of the keywords. So stop words are usually the words that are mostly frequently occurred in the text. So that's why you have to take them out, because they're kind of a meaningless word. They're just links from the one word to the other. And these English, German, French, Finnish stop words, they are already automatically inside of the mallet program. But if you use some other language, you can add a stop word to mallet program. And you can find these keyword lists in the net easily. You just search for them, and then you get a list, and you just add to the in a mallet or some other programs if you need, if you use something other. So it is possible you to modify your text. You can also, if you use standard English text and you automatically you are using stop words, that it doesn't count. But if there's like some other words that are not kind of considered normal stop words, but for some reason your material has some special words that you are not interested about, you can add kind of extra stop word list also in mallet. So when you run your material through the mallet, it also takes out for those extra stop word what you wanted to the program to take out. So that is also possible. So here is how these commands work in a mallet program. And you can see, if you go through that, the first, I have been in U drive, so I changed my U drive to C drive. If you look at the left top corner, and then I have changed my directory to mytemp, typing cd mytemp, enter, and then you can see that it has moved to mytemp. And then I have found the mallet folder and so on. And then the first step is to import the material in mallet, and that the first longer line is the command that I used so that the mallet creates itself labels. So the program goes material through and gives them a label so that the program can understand how when it actually starts analyzing. And then the longest line is the command where I have wanted to train some topics. And if you look at the line, it's starts with train topics, and next it says that okay, we take the material from this file, this label file with what mallet already created, and there's a number of topics, 20, and I wanted to use in 10 words interval, and but that's also what you can choose, how many words it can analyze around the word, what this kind of the machine thinks it's belonging one topic. And then I also wanted to 20 keywords and so on. So this is how it works. This is what kind of commands you need to input. And this is what it, after the program runs, it gives you this kind of view. So the program starts the topics from zero. So if you have a 20 topics, it numbers them from 0 to 19. And then the next line column you see from the, if you look from the left, it kind of gives you a number that how important that topic is in the whole corpus. The bigger the number is, the more important topic the machine thinks it is. And the topics are now this kind of keyword lines. It creates the line with words that the program things are connected to each other. So this is what the machine does, and then now you as a researcher have to start interpreting. Like, what are the topics? What you kind of take this information and you kind of put it in the wider context, and that context that you know, and then you start interpreting like the, what this list of words mean in a bigger context. You can also, it gives you a text file, and you can take that text file and put it in a Excel. And so you can kind of, then maybe you want to put them in a in order that, like here, I have put them in order that the most important topic is first. So you can maybe it's more easy for you to analyze when you start from the top that okay, this may be the most important now and then less. It makes your analyzing part a little bit easier. So the material but I also put in the Moodle, it's from the Journal of Economical Review, and I search for the material from year 1974 and with the keywords crisis. So this is what you can kind of get out from these topics that the computer say. It says that puts together labor, government, election, party, health, country, Wilson, and so on. So in my mind, that would be as maybe dealing with British politics and parliament. So I kind of named that topic with this. Then there's a next line of words, and that could be considered to be economy or fiscal matters. Maybe then it's a economy and production and oil. And then there might be these words that they put together. And if you look at them closely, it's just nonsense. So you can ignore that. It doesn't tell you anything. So that is also a possibility. And then there's a words that I have put, like international relations. So on, you get this, you start organizing these different lines from the topics, and you can maybe figure out that what topics are together in maybe one bigger team. So maybe you can we can separate that three of these topics are dealing with politics and parliament. Maybe three of the 20 topics are dealing with economy, fiscal things, and then and so on. This is the interpretation part of the part when you actually start analyzing the things that the programs provide to you. So here's the just to remind you where you can get if you have to later install the program some other computer or so on. So here's just a reminder. So I put it for you. This kind of a step-by-step in directions, and these are from Brian Broxall, just for you so that you can say for yourself, like if you want to use some other laptop or later on. So here's the really good instructions in a nutshell. So because we have already installed these programs, we don't have to get this so detailed all in the beginning, but let's go straight to the okay. Yep. Here's the instructions how you actually create the corpus in Mallet. So this is the part first part when you start using it. This is when you are labeling your material inside. And these are things that you have to remember. And you can always come back here if you can't remember. And here's some instructions how you actually can use extra stop words or so on. So you can use these commands, extra stop words, and then you give your file name, what you have named the file where your extra stop words are located. And this is how you train the topics. Here's other commands. You can use kind of basic line, but then there's a lots of possibilities how you can tweak your thing. And I have now put here some basic things. And if you want to learn more, you can go to the Mallet page, or you can just search in the internet some other things. Because this is an open program, so people have coded some other commands, and they are happy to share them. And one place I have searched for the different kind of commands that you can use in a Mallet is a website called Stack Overflow. And also, if you run some problems, Stack Overflow is a very good place to find solution for the any programs what you are using. So you can also it's important that you create the in a command line the name of the output things that you want to save, so that you can actually come back, and it kind of creates your files where your results are. And here's the, you know, short explanations what different kind of commands, in what they mean in a command line. And also, when you start to interpret your results, you have to kind of maybe rerun your model again. You just make some modification in your command line. If you like want to change the number of the document topics, that instead of 5, you maybe want to get 10 or 20. And sometimes it's really kind of useful to actually run your same material with a different number of topics and then kind of compare to them. So what the if you just run 5 topics, what's the difference between 5 topics and 20 topics? So is there some kind of are the same topics coming on the top, or are they changing? And then you might have to kind of figure out why that is happening and what it actually means. This is the part when you, as a scientist, are crucial, that you start to analyze the thing. You try to figure it out what it means. So for tomorrow's demo, you can do 2 different things. You can, if you like, you can use all those files that I already uploaded in Moodle, or you can go in an Economist journal by yourself. You can type a different theme words, or if you're interested in something, they have really good database in an Economist journal that you can kind of get out lots of different kind of materials from there. Or and you can now like collect your own material and then try to fiddle with and maybe analyze it a little bit. And here's the address for the economic database. I have but it should work if you are in the university network. If you're using university computers, it might work if you use a VPN connection. But those who are working from their own computers, then you have to go from the university computer, and because in those computers are the access to the database. So then you can choose advanced search, and then you can put your keywords. There's a drop boxes where you have a different kind of options. So you can choose there like an entire document, and then you can maybe choose the publication date from the beginning of year, like end of year, like 1 year or whatever. And then you can select what kind of publication from that magazine you want. What I used, it was an opinion and editorial things, so that they were kind of these text in a beginning of journal, that kind of are the editorial notes of what's going on in the world. day field. And if you want more information about the program, and so here's a few links where you can go and check things out. And below is that Stack Overflow address also, that it's very useful if you're looking for some specific information. And here's also one example of the how topic model has been used in a scientific article. If you are interested to kind of see, then check it out. It could give you a kind of idea that how the topic model is actually used in a research project. All right, now I can show you more detail for the programs. So I will show you first the Vojan tool because it could be a little easier to use, and so you can get more easy stuff out of it. So I will share screen for you. All right. Here we are. I uploaded the material for the Moodle as a zip file because there's so many files in together, and I didn't want to upload them one by one. So when you download it from the Moodle, you need to unzip it so that you can use it. But it goes like this in the Vojan tool. If you want to use maybe a book or some article or whatever, and it's published in a web, you can just add the web address here, and the program itself gets it from that website. But if you have your material as a text form, then you have to upload it. And you just click upload. And then you find the file where your material is. Like here, I have this Journal of Economic Review materials. I choose them all and then just click open. And the program starts uploading the corpus. Takes a moment, not that long. And now we are in. So this is how it looks like. It gives you, this is very nice tool. It gives you a lots of different kind of things. I'm not gonna go through what all it does because it does a lot, but I will show you how you can use this program as a topic modeling. But I will also show you a little bit what the other stuff you can here find. So this program can make you this kind of word clouds. You can see here, and here you can, if you slide that thing, it gives you maybe more words, less words, whatever you like. Just makes you. And there's a different kind of things. Here's here. So this is the most left. upper column. And then in the middle, it shows you the text itself. And here in the right side, you can see the trends. You can maybe choose here from the labor. And now it shows in which document the labor word has been mentioned most often. And here in the bottom right column, if you have a term like some, well, you can choose them, then it shows you what is from the left from the word and what is the right from the word. And then there's a more detailed information in the left column about the files, what we have been using. And if you want to, like now, if you would look at the word cloud, you can see that there's a MR here. And this is kind of a stop word that it doesn't mean anything. If you are a gender study, then it might actually mean something to you. But if that doesn't mean you anything, you can if you click, I'm just go back. If you go top of the column, if you put your mouse, then these things appear to you. It doesn't show them now, but if you go mouse, then that means that you can export the picture for yourself. And there's a, you can choose some other tools. But now, if we want to edit our stop word list, we click this. And it says that it's auto-detected the language. But we can also choose from this list that it's English and confirm. Now it's, I think it's an English, serve English. But if you want to edit, so you just click this edit, it gives you the list. And if we add MR in there and then save and confirm, now it disappears from there. So now it's added to your stop word list. And here you can, well, this is kind of looks like a Windows. If you click that, you get the all the tools what this program does. It does so many things, so you can just try them out, figure them out. But if you got this corpus tools and you go all the way down, here's topics. If you click that, it gives you a topic modeling results from the text. I'm going to put this a little bit bigger so you can see better. All right. So now we have put like at that 10 terms. So it gives you 10 words in every topic and 10 topics. So this is a simple way to do topic model. And if you want to have maybe less, 5, then you just edit the number and then click run. It gives you 5. If you want to add more terms, you just put the number up and then you run. And this is, you can kind of run it through with the different kind of settings so you can actually see how it affects in your material. And in the documents column, you can see with the color, different colors, that how often those words were mentioned in a different document. So you can go maybe a little bit deeper analysis. So that is how the Voyant tools works. And so just remember this little Windows, and you get lots and lots of tools in here. Okay, I will stop sharing now. That. And now we go into the mallet. So you used mallet from the command prompt program from your computer, or I can't remember what is in Mac, but you can find it easily when you go in Windows. If you go to the search function, and if you're using English language operating system, it's command prompt. But if you're using Finnish, it's komentokehoite. So you can try to find it now. I will. Yeah, now I'm going to share it to you. So in my computer, it looks like this. Have everybody found it? Yes. Good addition, Tanya. It's in Mac, it's called Terminal. It doesn't have to be Terminal. I'm gonna quickly delete some files in my folder because I just tested this morning that it actually works. Just a second. All right. So if everybody are now in the, so now in my computer, it gives U drive for me the kind of point of departure. So I just simply capital C dots and then press enter. It changes me in the C drive. Now I have to find the mallet folder on my where it's located in this computer. And I remember it's in my temp, so I have to go my temp. So I type CD and space and my temp and enter. Now I'm in my temp folder. And then I have to go into the mallet folder. So I type again CD mallet. And now it's important when you type CD and then that mallet folder that you type exactly how it labeled in your computer. If it's labeled like a mallet underscore some numbers, what it automatically does when you're using a university laptop, then you have to type that. Now, is everybody so far? Okay, I guess so. Now, the point is that you should have placed your material in the ma in the folder. What is my? I will show you where it's in my computer. Just a second. I will stop sharing this for a moment. Let's see. Here. So here in the top you can see that I'm in a C drive, then I'm in a MyTemp, and this is the mallet file in my MyTemp file. And this is how it looks like. Here I have made a folder called Echo 74, where my, and if I click that, here is my all the, these files that I want to use. And you can see that these are in a TXT form. And if you're using some other programs like a Word or Notepad and Sumut, remember that you have to save it as a UTF-8. I will write it in the chat. In this kind of form, usually mostly it does automatically because that's the most common used, but sometimes it might not do it, and I have run it sometimes like I'm wondering why this is not working, and I found it from the Stack Overflow that this is the kind of encoding that the text file should be so that it would work. Okay, so and you here's your file where all your material is. Now, the next step we have, if you want to be quick, you can use this the code already written in my PowerPoint slides, and I will stop sharing. This I will share you the yeah. This is the we have to import the documents first. So you have two options. You can write manually this line into the command prompt, or like I do it, like I just copy this and then let's go. Here. And now I paste it in here. Now.
Could you also paste it in the chat?
Yes, I can do that also. It's very used to have Houston with me. So now, this is what the program should say to you if it's run the if it's kind of imported the material for the program successfully. It gives you this short information, labels, and shows the where the file was fetched, and it just tells you that now the program has labeled. If you're running some problems, then it actually tells you where the problem is. It gives you a sort of information. It says that the error somewhere, and it usually shows where the error is. Then you can kind of try to figure it out, okay, why it says error there, or is it incorrect path or something. Maybe there's some extra character somewhere it doesn't understand. Exactly. And good point, Tanya. If you using your own materials and you name the folder the name in a way you want it to name, then if you use this command line, you just replace that. I have used echo 74. That's the name of the folder. You just replace that and put it everywhere. Okay. Now if the computer has labeled it, then we go, you can go and fetch the other. I will put it in the chat. Now it's in the chat, the command line for the next phase. And then you just import that. You have two choices. You can write the code manually here, or you just copy and paste from the slides. And now I paste the line, and now the computer is calculating. It took mighty 7 seconds to go through all that material, and it's now created the 10 topics for us. And to see the results, we can go back in that Mallet folder. All right, now we are back in my computer's Mallet folder. When the Mallet is importing the material for itself and like labeling it, it creates this kind of a folder to you in this Mallet folder. It calls echo 74 dot Mallet. That's also sign for you that you can see that it did it correctly. And that is the file that you have to input in your command line. If you look closely that training topics command, I put which is you can see it from the chat. There's a in the beginning there's a command called input echo 74 dot mallet. It means that file that you have created when you label the material. So when the Mallet trains the topics, it goes from that file and uses it. What other things we get here? It's or then these text files are the results what we wanted to have. Like, let's click for the topic counts. Is this no? I have to switch. It opens kind of a notepad file that it gives a list of words and what document you can find. So you can scroll through and see whatever. It is just what a list of words. Then let's go back. And then there's this other text files. It gives you the name of the file is exactly how you were writing, how you wrote it in your command when you import use it in a training topics. So in there, if you want these files to have a certain name, that's what you write in a command line. If you look at the command in the chat, we wrote that echo 74 keys 10 text, composition 10 text, and I use this kind of title that I see that it's from Echo 74, so I know what from what material, and I wrote that there's 10 keys. I get keys for 10 topics. I use 10 topics. So if I want to have 15 topics, then I write keys 15 so that I know when I open this file that these are the keywords for the 15 topics or 10 topics run and so on. So next, I will click open this keys text file. And I will share it for you. And it opens for this notepad. And here's your results. You can see from 0 to 9, 10 topics, and there's also number which the program thinks it's most important topic. So these I usually put in Excel. I just kind of copy all, Control A, and I get everything, and then I just open the Excel file and just paste it in there, and then you have the Excel file where you can fiddle around. But this is how the program kind of works in a nutshell. Now we have 6 minutes if you have some questions.
If I may add, at this point, I noticed, at least on my computer, if I actually try to copy paste the whole command to the command prompt, it actually runs it straight away. So if I copy paste Marcos commands there from the chat, I succeed when I put it first in a notepad or another text editor, change the names of the folders into the correct one, the one that I have. So instead of Eco74, I always put the folder I created. And then that whole text I copy paste into command prompt. So if you run into similar kind of issues, I think I've usually just typed each word separately. So I haven't noticed this before, but when I try to copy paste, it just instantly runs the code as well. So
if you are writing manually that code, it doesn't do it before you press enter. But for some reason, when you copy paste, it immediately kind of figures that there's probably an enter.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It surprised me. I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah,
it
so
already, so.
yeah, so just a tip to use another word processor or notepad for changing the command first to suit your folder structure.
Any questions? Was it simple enough? Hopefully. If not, you can start trying. Remember, trial and error is the way to learn new things. And tomorrow we can see what kind of problems you had or what kind of success you had, and we can discuss more, like features and so on. Or was it usable, or any kind of ideas? Well, if you have no questions, then I'll say you bye bye. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Thank you.